Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 103. Today's topic is Going Local. We'll be talking about going local in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real, which is an understatement. It's real, it's caused by humans, it is solvable, and it is very urgent and important that we work together toward decisive solutions to counteract the challenges that we face. We also believe that climate change is worse than most people imagine, even those who believe that it's real. I believe in being positive and focusing on solutions, but first we have to understand the exact nature and extent of the problem. So what we've got now with climate change is the atmosphere has warmed by a little over 1 degree Celsius as far as a global average temperature. That warming of the atmosphere has also caused the warming of the oceans. And one reason the warming of the oceans is problematic is not just because of the destruction of marine life, but it also indicates, the amount of heat that has been absorbed by the oceans is an indicator of how much warming is locked in and irreversible at this point. This warming is causing the melt of ice in the Arctic, the melt of ice in Greenland and Antarctica, the melt of ice in the mountain ranges of the world, such as the Himalayas, the Andes, the Rockies. And these snow caps on the mountains and the snow caps and glaciers have, for time immemorial, been a supply of fresh water for people. And when those melt, it means that fresh water is going to be in scarce supply for people who have used that water for time immemorial for drinking water and for crops, not to mention the wildlife that has come to depend upon these sources of water. Another effect of climate change is greater forest fires. So when you have drought, crops die, but forests burn. This is problematic because forest fires release carbon into the atmosphere, so instead of the forest becoming a carbon sink, that is a structure which absorbs carbon, it becomes something that releases carbon. So these are some of the reasons and ways that climate change is already a problem and already catastrophic. But the thing is, there are a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a handful of very powerful people, who are making a lot of money with business as usual. These include big banks, these include oil companies. Big banks are making a lot of money over business as usual. Fossil fuel companies are making a lot of money with business as usual and they don't want to change. Agribusiness corporations are making a lot of money with business as usual and they don't want to change. Multinational restaurant corporations are making a lot of money with business as usual and they don't want to change. And all of the above are making money partly because they are strongly allied with media corporations. Currently, nearly all of the mainstream media is owned by 6 corporate conglomerates. Nearly all of the mainstream media is owned by 6 corporate conglomerates. So there's not a lot of competition. And also, we get our media, we get our news and information from entities that are owned by for-profit enterprises. They are for-profit enterprises, they are owned by for-profit enterprises, and they are funded by for-profit enterprises. So we are taught that we have a free press, but we really don't. The press that we have in the United States is relatively free from government, but it is almost entirely enslaved to the profit motive. Now, the profit motive can be a good thing in moderation, but you don't want to give all your power to people who are motivated, people and institutions that are motivated only by the profit motive. So these big corporations that I named do not want you and me to get the objective truth. You can find out the objective truth if you're willing to dig for it. And I recommend that you have a list of truth-based sources. My truth-based sources include Naomi Klein, Noam Chomsky, Michael Parenti, Chris Hedges, Michael Hudson, and a handful of others. There are many good truth-based sources, but you have to know what to look for. And you have to know that, although you can get a lot of good factual information from our media, including the national newspapers like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post, including cable channels like CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News, although Fox News is a bit of a stretch, and you can get fact-based information from social media, but you have to understand that these enterprises and these news sources are teaching a fundamentally deceptive worldview. They want you to believe in a worldview that is not true. They want you to believe in a worldview whereby everything is okay if we just let business do its work. They want us to believe that everything will be just fine if we let business do its work. What they neglect is the bad things that business does, and that's what we'll talk more about in this episode. But things like pollution, things like business models that emit a lot of carbon into the atmosphere, business models that require deforestation, business models that require a very active and proactive military. So my main point is that the for-profit media, although you can get a lot of good factual information from them and you should consume some of their content, you need to know their limitations. And that's why you need to have sources like Noam Chomsky, Naomi Klein, Michael Parenti, or come up with your own list. But you need to have some sources that you can rely on to tell you the unvarnished truth. On the climate report, we ask, what would it look like if we stopped pretending? What would it look like if our government stopped pretending that climate change is not an issue? What would it look like if business stopped pretending that climate change is a non-issue? What would it look like if the media stopped pretending that climate change is a non-issue or is not very urgent? And what would it look like if you and I stopped pretending that climate change is not very urgent? Now, the last thing I'm going to do is to put you on a guilt trip. We live in a world in which individuals are outgunned. We live in a world in which our individual choices, although they are important, individual change is just not enough to address the problems that we have before us. We need to look to systemic change, and that's why I'm happy to be talking today about the topic of going local, because having localized economies is a big, 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 big part of the solution to climate change. This is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we can defend ourselves against the onslaught of corporate propaganda and even laugh at it because the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. And that's what the Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. Now, the topic of today's show is going local. So the question is, what does local autonomy look like? So you have probably heard of the Green New Deal, which is not just one proposal, but it's several alternative proposals that differ from one another in the details. But what they have in common is that any proposal or any family of proposals worthy of the name Green New Deal is going to emphasize an economy that is much more localized than what we have now. Plus, any proposal worthy of the term Green New Deal, is going to give a lot of power to people as opposed to government, federal government, or these big corporations. What we have today is not a functioning democracy because people, you and I, have so little of the power. And people who oppose the Green New Deal include some serious propagandists. And they're going to oppose the Green New Deal with the same old strategy that has worked for 100 years, which is to get you and me to be afraid of communism and socialism. And one strategy they use is to give you two choices. You can either have an unfettered, unregulated, so-called free market on the one extreme, or you can have Soviet-style communism where the federal government micromanages everything on the other extreme. You would never know that there are a lot of choices in the middle. There are a lot of choices where we can limit the power and the reach of big business without sacrificing all of our power to an all-powerful federal government that micromanages everything and owns and controls everything. In short, anything worthy of the term Green New Deal is going to involve a lot of democracy, and any socialism associated with the Green New Deal is going to be very democratic, not least of all, local democracy. So I have a numbered list of over 20 items. We might get to 12 to 15 of them today. But we're going to answer the question, what does it mean, or what does it look like to go local? What does local autonomy look like? And why should we want such a thing? Item number one of going local is an observation. The observation is that our current economic system is not ecological. We do not replace what we take. We often extract minerals and raw materials in ways that cause lots of pollution and the exploitation of people and the poor management of agricultural lands and also forests. What we need instead is a system that recognizes limits and a system that recognizes that we're going to have to pass our planet and our locality on to future generations. And we can't just do with it whatever we want. Item number two under going local is another observation. Our current economic system causes food, clothing, and electronics to be transported thousands of miles. And so what I'm proposing here is that every county should have the power and the autonomy to say no to some kinds of business and should have the power to set standards instead of just letting out-of-town businesses run roughshod over the local economy at the expense of everyone's health and at the expense of the health of people in other states, other countries, and at the expense of clean air, water, and soil, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. So we should be able to draw the line at the county line, and we should be able to determine what kinds of businesses are permitted to do business and which ones are not. Item number three is another observation. Our current economic system causes food, clothing, and electronics to be manufactured in ways that are not sustainable. So we should be able to have the power to draw the line at the county line or the state line and say, here's what we will and will not allow into our region. You can see how this empowers people to control their local economy. Currently, we don't have very much power to control our local economy. Item number four in going local is another observation. Actually, item number five, if you're keeping count. The goods that we buy in our groceries, in our hardware stores, in our electronic stores, these goods are made with mining and high pollution processes for which we have little awareness or control. We should have more awareness and more control over the impact of the extraction and manufacturing processes that result in the goods that we buy. The next item is that our current economic system causes the exploitation of the environment and labor in remote locations. There is little transparency in relation to the environmental damage or human rights issues that go along with our foods and products. So, for example, if pesticides are used, well, that's harmful to people who eat the food. It's harmful to workers who have to work in the field and be surrounded with toxic pesticides. And it's harmful to the environment where the food is grown. Not to mention the human rights issues that go along with agricultural enterprises and mining enterprises. Item number 6 under going local is a speculation. I speculate that people would like to know the story behind their goods so they can make sustainable choices. This includes labeling, but is not limited to labeling. If you can read the label on the goods you buy, well, those are very popular policies that are actually threatened by NAFTA and by the WTO, World Trade Organization. But we should be able to consume that information not just as individual consumers, but as communities. We should have the right to draw the line at the county line or at the state line and say, we want to know where our food comes from. We want to know how our electronics are manufactured. We want to know whether the workers that make these goods are treated with dignity and respect. We want to know whether the workers that make these goods are paid minimum wage. We want to know whether the workers that are making these goods have labor rights and are able to organize without the fear of persecution. What I just described is anything but true in Latin America, for example. The United States has, for time immemorial, but especially in the last 60 or 70 years, supported the harshest and most brutal regimes that have death squads murdering labor leaders and priests and organizers. That is a completely unacceptable situation, but the average consumer has little way of knowing the reality on the ground at the point of origin of the products they buy. And the average community has little way of knowing the reality of the facts on the ground in the communities where their goods are made. So item 6 is a speculation that says people would like to know the story behind their goods so they can make sustainable choices. Not just labeling for ingredients, but they would like to know a whole lot more, especially in the area of human rights, labor rights, gender equity, etc. Item number 7 is a principle hinted at previously. We should be able to place limits on what businesses can and cannot do in our locality. Repeat, we should be able to place limits on what businesses can and cannot do in our locality. As it is now, individuals and communities have very little discretion over what businesses can and cannot do in their communities. Now, the people that are going to oppose this vigorously are the businesses themselves. Home Depot and McDonald's don't want limits placed on them when they come into our communities, especially when those limits cut into their profits. But we need to buy into the notion that profits are not everything. And we need to buy into the notion that a great deal of the injustice in the world results from a total focus on profits at the expense of people and at the exclusion of people. Item number 8 under going local is a principle. The principle says we need new solutions for new problems. We've got these problems bearing down upon us. Climate change is only one of the whole family of problems that we have to solve, and we cannot just continue with business as usual. And one of the strategies that propagandists use, pro-business propagandists, one of the strategies that pro-business propagandists use is to try to marginalize and discredit anything that is new or different. We cannot allow pro-business propagandists to marginalize and discredit new solutions. We cannot allow pro-business propagandists to successfully resist every new and common sense idea that happens to cut into their profits. And when I say business, I'm talking about big business. A successful, healthy, thriving local economy is going to involve small businesses. And small businesses, in fact, can thrive in an economy when big business does not dominate. Abraham Lincoln said, "The dogmas of the quiet past are inadequate to the stormy present." In other words, we can't just fall back on business as usual. We need new solutions to new problems. Item number 9 under going local is a principle or a method called true cost accounting. True cost accounting. So the question is, you know, what's the true cost of a hamburger? When a fast food restaurant sells you a hamburger, there's a lot of cost that went into making that hamburger that you're not paying and the business is not paying. And the bigger the business is, the more skilled they are at avoiding societal costs. So in the ideal world, we want the seller and the buyer to bear the true cost of what they buy. And it's this shifting of costs onto the public that results in lots and lots of toxic waste, lots and lots of deforestation, lots and lots of water pollution and air pollution. So we need to get to where the sales price of every item includes the true cost of that item. What we have now is that fossil fuels are subsidized, even though fossil fuels are very costly. We have war profiteers making a lot of money, and you and I, as American taxpayers, are paying $1 trillion a year to a war machine that need not exist. Because it does not make the world safer for us, it makes the world more dangerous for us. We have a government that subsidizes the price of rice and sells, you know, allows our merchants to sell rice in places like Haiti. Now, Haiti could grow its own rice, but the rice farmers have been driven out of business because you and I are paying subsidies to these corporations that then are able to sell rice at a price that does not reflect the true cost. Any toxic chemicals that cause illness are almost invariably sold to the consumer at a price that does not recognize the true cost. So this is a proposal. This episode, Going Local, is a proposal that we should be able to draw the line at the county line or at the state line and say, here are our standards. We have ethical standards. We have standards for the way you do business. We have standards for the way you treat your employees. We have standards for paying minimum wage, whether it's a local employee or whether it's an employee that's in another country. And localities can decide for themselves what these standards are going to be. But we need to be able to draw the line at the county line and say, enough is enough. You have to earn the right to do business in our locality. Furthermore, the burden of proof is on you to show that you meet our standards for doing business in a way that is safe, is humane, is ethical, is sustainable, is non-toxic, etc. That brings us to item number 10 under Going Local. The principle is transparency. So one real problem we have today is that corporations, these big corporations, are pretty darn secretive and manipulative. They're secretive in making plans that affect us. Right now, Louisville is in the Ohio Valley. Kentucky is part of the Ohio Valley, so is southern Indiana, southern Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. And there is a huge petrochemical complex that promises to generate lots and lots and lots of pollution, lots and lots and lots of toxicity. It's going to require lots and lots of fracking or hydraulic fracturing to turn fossil fuels into plastic while leaving a lot of toxic waste behind. And the thing is, these companies are allowed to do their work in secret. That's the opposite of transparency. Transparency is the opposite of secrecy. So our state and our county should be able to draw the line and say, we only do business with corporations that demonstrate acceptable levels of transparency. You have to be transparent in your reporting about lobbying efforts. You have to be transparent in reporting about whether or not you grow and transport food sustainably. You have to be transparent as to whether you pay workers a minimum wage and allow them to organize. And the burden of proof is on you. No more free ride, no more free lunch. Item number 11 under Going Local is the principle of reusing. So, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle is a good concept, but it's real poorly implemented. It's very poorly implemented in today's world. Almost all recycling is voluntary, and the burden of recycling falls on the consumer. That's not the only way it can be. We could be using reusable bottles. So soft drink manufacturers have always been opposed to using reusable bottles because the burden falls on them. But if the burden does not fall on them, then it falls on the public. It takes a lot of resources when all of our drinks come to us in single-use containers made of plastic or aluminum or glass. So what we can do is draw the line at the county line or the state line and say, in this locality, we require that you use reusable bottles and you allow the consumer to collect 10 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents deposit when they return the container to you. Similarly, we could require restaurants to use reusable plates, napkins, utensils, etc. So I've got another minute or two to wrap it up. What we're proposing here is to empower localities. Localities such as counties and states, possibly even regional authorities, should be able to set standards for the types of businesses they will and will not allow into the county or the state. And the best case scenario is that these standards have far-reaching consequences, far-reaching positive consequences. How much of a positive difference would it make to the people of Latin America if Americans had the ability to say no to businesses that are not willing to bear the burden of proof that they are meeting standards for transparency, for fair wage and labor standards, for sustainable agricultural practices, for limits on the amount of deforestation? And if it means a hamburger costs $10 or $20, then is that too high of a price to pay if it represents the true cost? If people don't have enough money to eat, then we need to put money in their hands so they can eat sustainably. That's all for today. Thanks for joining me.